What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. This is episode number 145. I'm Jared here with Paul.
What up?
Coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Today, we are going to be talking all about UFC 279, Chimaev versus Diaz. Looking at the top two fights on the card, we got to ask, what is the point of this card? We are going to be talking about Leon Edwards and asking, why doesn't this man have any fans? With less than 30 people showing up to welcome him home after his big title win. And finally, we're going to be asking what the F is going on with the UFC heavyweight title scenario. All this and more on today's SWAT MMA. Before we get to that, though, you know what time it is. Grab your stash, fire it up, and let's get into the weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Before we get started, Paul, let's talk about today's sponsor for our Weed of the Week segment. We've got Bioanoid CBD, which is an excellent solution for those of you in other states outside of legal cannabis states looking for something to perhaps join with us and smoke with. Bioanoid CBD offers a full range of hemp-based cannabinoids, including not just CBD products, but Delta-H, Delta-9, Delta-10, THC, THCO, HHCP, THCP, THCB, and even more, from wax to vape pens to everything else. Go to SWATMMA.com, click on the Cool Stuff button, and you will find links that will get you 20% off all items at Bioanoid CBD. Now, Paul, what are we smoking on today?
So today we are smoking on some Apple Driver, also known as Grandma's Apple Fritter. So this is a 60-40 hybrid indica sativa. It's a mixture of apple fritter and Sunday driver. Real nice. I'm so far liking it a lot, to be honest. This is kind of like a more rare strain as well.
Yeah, it's not one you're going to see in a lot of dispensaries out here. Actually, I haven't been able to find it in a dispensary anywhere. If you know your ways around, you can find some strains that might not be available in your local store,
yeah.
Just like anybody else. But this one here, I got to say, we were smoking beforehand. I really like it, too.
Yeah, I like
it. The buds are real nice and dense. The flavors here seem pretty good. It's got kind of a pleasant mixture of kind of the fruity terpenes coming from both the Sunday Driver and the Apple Fritter. Mm-hmm. But it's got some kind of like the diesel-y kind of skunky undertones.
Yeah, it has kind of like a skunky smell, but then a smooth like finish.
It hasn't really been putting me on my ass as far as couch lock goes either.
Well, we've been smoking a lot of indicas lately, so.
I know, we're just asking for trouble.
We're asking to be fucking put down lately, but I mean.
Dude, we probably are. At the end of every show, we're probably like,
thanks, everybody.
Thank you. But yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
This is a real good one, though. And like you said before, I don't feel like it's one of those ones where you're getting kind of a dual action high rather than just that heavy indica where it's just got you all groggy.
And it's a pretty kind of herb, too. Like, when you grind it up, you'll see a whole lot of greens and purples breaking out, and you get it out in the sun, so you've got, like, the three different shades of green. You got some nice purples and all these crystals in there. It's a beautiful kind of herb. Makes some nice pictures.
Yep.
If you're smoking whatever it is, we hope it's delicious like ours. You know, another place people can find that link for Bioanoid, not to hype it too much, but on our YouTube channel, if you happen to be watching that right now, right below you in that link, 20% off Bioanoid CBD.
Yes, sir.
Let's dive into some combat sports, though, as we continue puffing down, Paul.
So there's kind of two ways we can go here. We can kind of talk about some stuff that's happened in the last 2 weeks, or we can kind of look forward. I think we should take a step back just for a minute, kind of look at some things that have unfolded since some real recent stuff. So I'd like to kind of start here with the question we were asking in the beginning. Why doesn't Leon Edwards have any fans? And this is not a knock on Leon Edwards. This is a question that we're generally asking because this man has accomplished so much in the sport, now has dethroned the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Yes.
And it just doesn't seem like, for some reason, people are embracing him as not only the champion, but as an actual star in this sport. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, we talked a little bit about before, but there was about 30 people waiting for him when he came off the plane after winning the title, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's shocking.
Insane. He is the second ever British UFC champion. Ends the fight with a devastating head kick to Kamaru Usman that has been on every goddamn meme and under the sun since then. But yet, for some reason, just the British fans have not embraced him as the champion he is.
No one is. 30 people, less than 30 people showing up at the airport for a returning champion, having done a massive, massive thing. Where's the rest of the UK stars even to welcome him? Where were people like Paddy Pimblett or Molly McCann welcoming him home? Why aren't they bringing out some of their fan base? Why aren't they celebrating him? I don't understand it. This guy is an excellent, excellent fighter who's accomplished a remarkable feat, and no one gives a shit. Just like beforehand, he couldn't get a title fight. You know, we've got this shit coming up next between Khamzat Chimaev and Nathaniel Diaz, where they're talking about a potential title shot for either one of them with a win, potentially, which we'll get into that in a minute. But keep in mind, Diaz is coming off two losses, and Chimaev has beat exactly one fighter in the top 10.
Yeah.
And a list of nobodies after that, four nobodies. Mm-hmm. No offense to Gerald Meerschaert. Edwards won 10 in a row, just knocked out the champ. No one gives a shit. People are more interested in a Diaz-Chimaev fight. Chimaev has been hyped up endlessly by people like Dana White. Mm-hmm. He's a monster. He's a beast. He talked about him at every press conference. What would have happened, Paul, if Dana White spoke about Leon Edwards with the same enthusiasm that he speaks about a Chimaev?
I don't really know. Well, that's the weird part of it. Like, no one really, it's hard to put your finger on why, like, Leon hasn't really caught on, to be honest, because he has finishing ability. He has a variety, and he has, like, good strikes, you know what I mean? Like, that's usually, when we're talking about the big stars in these divisions, it's a lot of knockouts, a lot of, you know, a lot of big, big highlight reel, stuff like that, and he has those. He has the highlight reel knockouts. He's got the knockouts of guys like Usman and Cowboy. He has the great performances like he did against RDA and Nate Diaz. And
he had the Rocky moment. His nickname is Rocky. What happened when Rocky did that kind of shit in the movies? Everybody fucking freaked out. Not even Rocky. In movie land, in real world too. Mm-hmm. What does this guy have to do? I don't think he can do anything. I think he's doomed. It doesn't matter. If this didn't boost him into popularity, what the fuck is?
Yeah. Because nobody's talking about Leon Edwards as one of the... Well, okay. Let me phrase this a little bit different. So, in the casual side of things, people view Leon Edwards as the guy who upset Usman versus, oh, that's Leon Edwards, who is the welterweight champion of the world and one 11 of the best
fight win streak, Leon Edwards. Hasn't lost, since... He just avenged his only loss only in how lost, many fucking years?
11 fights.
Yeah.
Close to almost, like, 6-7 years, like...
No, it's how he's unfavored to win the rematch. Mm-hmm. It's he got lucky.
Or, now you got to give him to Masvidal because Masvidal will tool him up because of a three-piece in Minnesota. Yeah, like that has become the narrative since that fight than, like, really embracing Leon as the champion he is, you know?
How about the fact that Leon Edwards, I mean, just to play, I'm really not that offended by it, but let's just play a little devil's advocate. What about the fact that Leon Edwards is not the type of fighter to randomly attack another fighter for talking shit? Because that's all he did to George Masvidal was talk some shit, and then Masvidal ran up on him and smacks him backstage.
Yeah.
What, like three times?
Yeah, three pieces.
Okay, he gets him the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And then we all laugh about it, ha ha ha. But is that really a laughing matter?
Yeah.
What did Leon Edwards do? And why was it praised so much for Masvidal instead of the fact that, hey, Leon Edwards is a stand-up guy who abides by rules and doesn't commit assault and battery? Just because Leon Edwards chose not to make a big issue out of that.
Mm-hmm. And let's all be honest. I think Leon Edwards really mops the floor with fucking Masvidal.
He'd fucking murder George Masvidal. Masvidal's not an elite fighter.
Yeah.
He had his moment. It came and went.
Yeah.
He's got his ass kicked by the elite of the division. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also it's made this weird gridlock now, where 170 was once a division where you look at and you said, man, like we talked about before, Usman's gotten, you know, cleared out the whole division. But now that you have a new champion on the top with a knockout like that, how long is Usman going to be out is a question, you know? Mm-hmm. And outside of Leon was getting beat up in that fight, obviously, no doubt. But he didn't really come out of that with any real bad issues, I would say, you know, as far as injury-wise. Like, he could end up fighting any of these guys next over Usman because of this, like, just because the UFC could attempt to, you know, secure as much money out of Leon before Usman were to come back and, you know, get that rematch and, in my opinion, most likely win.
If the UFC was smart, what they do is give Usman Conor McGregor, if that was possible. Or not Usman, I'm sorry, Edwards Leon, Conor yeah. McGregor, if that was possible, because there's a big fight that Conor might be able to win, which would boost massive coffers for UFC and give Leon a big fight. Yeah. But, and, you know, let's not go down that path. I think the only way that Leon Edwards gets any type of respect is if he somehow manages to beat Usman again in the rematch.
Yeah.
But
which he very well might be able to, because let's be honest, that although that kick was, you know, ninth hour and devastating, all that stuff, but it was extremely technical at the same time. It although his nickname is Rocky, it was not a Rocky moment in the idea of it was not a wild shot that was so lucky. It was timed. It was a feint from his jab that caused it, and it was also his ability to have poise late in a fight that he's losing very, very obviously, and not giving up on himself, but knowing and being able to have the vision within the fight to see that over the rounds, because he did talk about that earlier in the fight. And I mean, this is some kind of a when these kind of knockouts happen, this is kind of something that is always said, and training is one thing, but something he said he trained before the fight was that same feint to the head kick, which, you know,
I believe that he does, because it's a move we've seen before, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like that's the first time we've seen somebody dip into a fucking head kick. That's mm-hmm.
how DC
got
kicked,
knocked the fuck out by John Jones. Mm-hmm. Saying it's the same shit, and you can set that up. And
it happens against wrestlers. That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's like trying to exaggerate a lucky mm-hmm. moment or something. I don't think he threw a wild punch that just happened to connect. You know, mm-hmm. I think it was definitely a technical move they planned for, and it set itself up. It's just unfortunate for Usman. Yeah. And maybe this fight, you know, in the rematch, gives Edwards that confidence that he was clearly lacking, mm-hmm. at least in the later rounds. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't stop talking about how defeated that man looked visually, like on his fucking face, to the point where even his team noticed it and rallied him. You know, they're like, quit feeling sorry for yourself, because it was written all over his face. So I think that's his only path. And I think even if he does beat Usman twice, watch, the narrative won't be, look how great Edwards is. It will be, wow, look how suddenly Usman fell off.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he went on his run, and that was the end of Usman's. Where does Usman fit now in this and Usman that? And it'll still all just be Kamaru. And I'm not saying that as any type of negative towards Kamaru.
Yeah.
It's just that's how I see it playing out.
Yeah.
He's not going to get any respect. He's the fucking Rodney Dangerfield of fucking MMA. And that's probably a reference nobody understands, because who the fuck knows who Rodney Dangerfield is anymore? but he's running around talking about, I can't get no respect. Like, you can't get no respect, dude. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
He should change his fucking middle name from fucking Rocky to Rodney.
Well, that's what Ariel Helwani calls him. Ariel Helwani calls him the Tim Duncan of MMA.
There you go.
Yeah. He's technical, he wins, but it's not exciting enough for people to give a fuck.
Right.
That's literally what it is.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, so answering the question here, why doesn't Leon have enough fans? I think it's just at this point I don't even know.
Bad luck. It is a mixture of all kinds of circumstances that just haven't gone his way, combined with the UFC not liking him.
Yeah.
The UFC don't like him. They don't like
BT Sport does a better highlight or fucking promotional video for Leon Edwards than I've ever seen any UFC do.
Maybe he's a dick in real life and we don't know. Like, I can't quite figure out why, like, Molly and Patty would be so tight and then ignore, like, the champ coming back to England. Like, I'm not saying they all got to run around and be friends, but it's kind of like a... When Molly and Patty are on these cards together, it's like a celebration of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't fucking Leon Edwards just fit right into this celebration of the UK? Yeah. Like,
the
that's,
only person
that's what
I
mean. Like,
the only people I've seen that are from that region that have talked up Leon is Michael Bisping and Tom Aspinall, who was at the fight. Outside of that, those are the only two people I've seen actually, like, really champion him.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So I think
and
just
Connor
doomed.
Connor gave him his props, but I don't necessarily just because he's from that region of the world doesn't mean I mean UK fighters exact like that are from England. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now let's look ahead to this upcoming UFC card. Now we've talked about this card a bit, Paul. We've talked a lot of shit about it. I've had my theories about whether or not it would happen. I still do. But I will say they attempted, they being the UFC, to beef up the 279 pay-per-view a little bit. Tiny bit.
Yeah.
It's still a horrible fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I don't understand why anyone listening, not listening, any MMA, I don't get why you're buying this. Unless you're like an absolute Chimaev fan and a Diaz hater, like all rolled into
one. Or vice
one.
Versa. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe a diehard. I consider myself a diehard Diaz fan. I want nothing more than for him. When you think I'm paying $85 for this nonsense? Nah, dude. I'm good. And we have a fucking MMA show.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. There might possibly be some stream I find that magically is carrying this pay-per-view. I'm not certain, Paul. It's just a what-if scenario. But. So they added Kevin Holland and they added Tony Ferguson to this card as quote-unquote big names. We've got Kevin Holland fighting Daniel Rodriguez at a catchweight in the third slot down from the main and the co-main. So now the top three fights on this card are Kevin Holland, Daniel Rodriguez, and then this nonsense, I'm sorry, Tony Ferguson versus Li Jinglang at welterweight. And then Nate Diaz versus Khamzat Chimaev, also at welterweight.
That's three welterweight fights on the top of this card. Holland, Brady, it's a catchweight, but both of them are welterweights.
Holland, Rodriguez.
Yeah, sorry.
And he's a late fill-in for someone else.
I was reading up on it. It was supposed to be, I guess, Wonderboy, but it was never signed off. And it was like a last-minute thing. And then they add Holland on here against Rodriguez.
Okay, so these criticisms, folks listening, that we're about to lay out, have nothing to do with these fighters. These are all great fighters. Actually, I'd watch all of them fight. This isn't a fucking pay-per-view. Yeah. You can't charge your fans $85 to watch three non-title bouts where the most meaningful title bout or the most meaningful fight of the top three is a catchweight between a rising prospects, Rodriguez and Holland.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're getting. The top two fights bear the question, what is the point, win or lose, of these fights?
Mm-hmm.
They are, I would argue, both 100% meaningless, inconsequential, and a waste of everyone's time. Let's start with Li Jinglang versus Tony Ferguson. Paul, tell me I'm wrong.
Well, just kind of piggyback on what you just said there real quick. If you even go up and down this card, if the three fights that have the most actual, you know, stake are Johnny Walker, Ion Cutelaba, which neither of them is like towards a title shot, but like that has some meaning in the light heavyweight ranks. Aririo Aldana versus Macy Chason, which is, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like that's that's what we're talking about here. And then Kevin Holland versus Daniel Rodriguez. Those three fights are more consequential than the two fights we have in the main event and co-main event. Yeah. Because in the co-main event, you have Tony Ferguson taking on Li Jiliang, who's coming. This is his second fight since fighting Khamzat. Looked okay in his last fight. Gets the win. And then you're looking at Tony Ferguson, who's coming off three straight losses. Four straight losses, two of them being stoppages. You know what I mean? And then the other two being 30-27s.
Yeah, absolute beatdowns. And it's at welterweight, which we have never seen. Have we seen Tony at welterweight before?
I think it's been, like, since the Ultimate Fighter was, like, the last time he fought welterweight, I would say.
And he's 38 years old.
Yeah.
I like Tony Ferguson. His streak was amazing. He suffered a lot of bad luck in getting to a title shot. His last three wins in the UFC, let's just talk about them real quick. It's in order is Donald Cerrone, Anthony Pettis, Kevin Lee.
And speaking of even one of those wins, when you talk about the Anthony Pettis fight, he was losing that fight. Pettis broke his hand and threw the towel.
Yeah. So, not to shit on Tony, but this is just facts. And before that, it was Rafael Dos Anjos and then Lando Venetta.
And Charles. No, I'm sorry. He lost to Charles,
And then when he got to the top of the division, finally, due to circumstances really beyond his control, he then loses to all the top guys. He loses to Gaethje. He loses to Oliveira. He loses to Dariush.
Yeah.
He loses to Chandler. All convincingly, not close fights, not like, oh my God, Tony was right there. They were severe ass beatings.
I was thinking Edson Barboza, not all of it.
Oh, yeah, he did have a win over Barboza back then, but that was 2015, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, those two wins were like his, if you really look at that streak, those are the two signature wins, his RDA and Edson Barboza. And then he ends up, I don't remember which, it was PCL, ACL, something like that, ends up tearing it in the camera studio. And then the rest is kind of history.
Five times for title fights that never go through, or four times.
Finally gets a title fight versus Justin Gaethje, gets TKO'd. He was at one point interim champion when he won against Kevin Lee.
And then they stripped him when he tripped over a cord at a production studio for Fox.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know what this does for Tony Ferguson. We talked about it, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, what fighters needed to retire, and Tony was one of them. You know what I mean? I don't like this for Tony, but I do think if there is a winnable fight here, I think this is possibly one.
Well, let's look at the numbers a little bit. He's not as undersized as you might think. Li Jinglang's 19-7. Tony's 25-7 right now. They both got about an equal fight time, 10 minutes, 11 minutes. Tony's 5'11". Jinglang is 6 feet. He's actually got a 4-inch reach advantage because Tony's got those really wide shoulders and long arms.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually, 71 inches versus 76 for Tony. Yeah, Tony's 38 years old, though. I mean, that's where we're at. But their strikes landed are about accurate, about the same. Their accuracy is about the same. The strikes absorbed are about the same. They're really on paper not that far apart. Their grappling defense, or their defense, is the same. Takedowns, Jinglang's got an advantage there, but submissions, Tony's got.
That's very surprising, to be honest, that he has better takedown average than Tony, considering Tony, I would think, is the superior grappler in this situation.
Yeah,
I feel like that's his path to victory. Honestly, here would be to get Jinglang on the ground and be able to use some of those submissions.
Same here. And so what do you think? If he wins this fight, is he going to try to make a run up here at welterweight? Is this a one-off? It's kind of out of the blue here.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be that. If it's not that, then what are we doing? You know, it has to be some kind of attempt at a run at 170. But
well, let's talk about the top tier of 170. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just pick in Colby Covington. Does Tony Ferguson at 170 stand a prayer against Colby Covington?
No.
But I mean, a prayer. No.
No.
Usman?
No.
Edwards?
No.
Burns?
No.
Chimaev? Even, let's talk about, I don't want to get murked.
Even, I think he'd have his hands full with Masvidal.
And Chimaev's still, I think, an unproven fucking commodity, honestly.
I think he'd have his hands full with Masvidal, to be honest.
Yeah, what about guys like Masvidal who really shouldn't even be ranked but still are? I mean, I just don't see it. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So, I think we both agree. Li Jinglang versus Tony Ferguson, what's the point?
Yeah.
There isn't one.
But.
Who are you rooting for?
Who are you going to pick? That's what it comes. I'd like to see Tony win, just maybe get a win and get out. Maybe that's what he wants.
I don't want to see Tony keep on this losing streak. It sucks. I like the guy. I'm a big fan. It doesn't sound like it, maybe the way we're talking, but reality is what reality is. I hope Tony gets the win here and, yeah, steps away after that. Yeah. Go out on a W.
Yeah. Speaking of guys who need to go out on a W, let's talk about the main event. So there's a lot of layers to this fight and why it's happening and what exactly got us here. And it's Nate Diaz versus Khamzat Chimaev. This is Nate Diaz's last fight of his UFC contract. And this is a de facto number one contender fight for both these guys, supposedly.
And which is utter horseshit.
Utter horseshit. But
there is no sporting relevance behind what you just said.
No, not at all. So when you look at just looking at both these guys' last three fights, just to kind of get an idea of where we're at. So we got the one-punch KO of Gerald Merchart, the pretty much dominant strangling of Li Jiliang, and then an absolute war with Gilbert Burns in Khamzat's last three fights.
Dude, Khamzat, that win against Burns is a legit. I mean, they're all legit wins. Mm-hmm. Some of them very dominant. I'm saying against a strong opponent.
Yeah,
like you won against a
strength
a schedule good
wise.
Top 10 guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the other fights are nonsense. They're filler. If he was a boxer, those are the equivalent of fighting cans.
Yeah.
I mean, the strongest one out of those is Merchart. Sorry. Li Jinglang, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I don't buy his ranking. I don't.
Yeah.
I've never been on board with him as a ranked welterweight, despite him getting there in the bottom tier. I think he's like 15 or 14 or some shit.
Yeah. And then if you look at the guys below that, his other two fights, those guys both aren't in the UFC anymore.
And he beat them at their first fights in the UFC, I believe, for both of them as well. They were kind of like filler fights, the equivalent of boxing cans. And I'm sorry, no offense to those guys, but there's a reason why they came in, they got beat, and they bounced right back to fucking PFL or King of the Cage or wherever.
Well, if you look at
right now.
The dude Phillips, he had one more fight in the UFC, and Khamzat's over there showing him how to defend a takedown before the fight.
Right, seriously.
Like, come on.
And so him and Nate Diaz, in my top three favorite fighters of all time, I fucking love Nate. But dude, you don't deserve a title shot. Bro.
Here's the problem too: it's not even Nate Diaz's like ability or record or any of that. It's just the pure amount of inactivity in between his wins versus his losses it's undeniable. I mean, you look at his last five fights.
Yeah, compare them to the timeline of Chimaev's last five.
Exactly.
Fights.
Yeah, you look at. His inside of his last five fights is still both the McGregor fights, which happened fucking 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, that was in 2015 and 2016, right?
Yeah, he's got the win over McGregor, the loss to McGregor, the win over Pettis, the loss to Masvidal, the loss to Leon Edwards.
Yeah, and that's if you look at there's these things that it's kind of a pattern in Nate Diaz's career. He does this thing where he'll, like, get a little active for a minute and he'll have he'll rattle off a couple fights, and then he'll do this long negotiation process where he's talking about the whole division and calling all these guys out, but for some reason nothing ever materializes there. But in this case, this is one fight that just doesn't need to happen because Nate Diaz, one, is on an expiring contract, and two, he just – this is not great matchmaking. I'll put it that
way. Why would you get a title shot off beating him now?
Yeah.
His big win over McGregor, just so everybody can give some perspective over that, and his subsequent loss in the next fight, those were before anybody ever heard the term champ.
Yeah.
That was before anybody ever dreamed of him fighting Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Long before.
Well, let's
Khabib.
Just be honest. They also are way
the
before.
The bus incident, all of it.
Yeah. Well, let's just be honest, too. Outside of those two McGregor fights, what are his real performances at 170 look like? You know, don't even get me started. We can go back and look at the fucking him versus Rory McDonald is probably the worst outing of his entire career.
I discount a lot of those because his body was a lot different.
But even now, though, the loss to McGregor at 170 shouldn't happen. You know, the loss to fucking Masvidal, the loss to Edwards.
He should be able to beat Masvidal.
He should be able to beat
Masvidal. He had Edwards at the end of the fight. He fucked it up, but he got his ass kicked the first four rounds.
I was just going to say, I was like, Nate Diaz rocking Edwards was just as close as when Leon fucking slept Usman. You know what I mean? It was ninth hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he could have seized on that and done something, but he didn't. He clowned instead, unfortunately.
Which is why I think the fucking UFC is going to use that, dude. Oh, of course. If Diaz pulls this off, which will be the biggest upset in UFC history, bar none. Like, literally, there's not another fight you can really look at in the history of this game and say that there's been this bad of matchmaking and this bad of just, like, utter blatant usage of a guy's name versus his record.
Yeah, Chimaev is minus 1,100 and Diaz is plus 700 in the betting lines right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that says it all.
But I won't be surprised, motherfuckers. I'll tell you that.
I think you could rename this. There's two titles for this. Back remember when the UFC used to name their events?
Yeah.
This could be UFC 279, What's the Point? Or UFC 279, No One's Gonna Be Surprised, Motherfucker. I mean, I'm sorry. This is just pointless. So Nate wins. He's not gonna re-sign at the UFC. I don't give a fuck if they said you're fighting Edwards for the title. I do not, unless it was a one-fight deal, I don't believe Nate's fucking signing with the UFC, period, the end. He's been nothing but fuck yous. I still, halfway, don't think he's going to show up, like I said several episodes ago.
Could happen, but, so.
I mean, he's, thus far. And, honestly, with the way that things have played out now with Leon Edwards and Usman, what is the fucking point if Chimaev wins? They're not going to give him the title shot now. There's too much other shit with Usman and Edwards for the trilogy. They're going to do that in London. They're going to try, at least, or Nigeria, or fucking somewhere where they can sell it big for one of those two guys.
Yeah.
Because Usman has no, or Edwards has no drawing power, so maybe this Wembley Stadium shit is nonsense. Maybe they'll do it in fucking Jamaica. Who knows? They'll come up with some shit, though, to make it big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time that rolls out, because if fucking Edwards is smart, he'll try to at least get 6 months between fights, and Usman might get that anyways with the KO and the doctor's fucking orders, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's 6 months from now, minimum, I'd say. What, is Chimaev just going to sit around, get that promised title shot? And then if Usman wins, the rest of the division is going to be active too, so he's just going to, okay, now it's Chimaev because he beat Diaz 8-9 months ago?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't think it'll hold. I say again, what's the point?
I agree with you.
Other than to make Nate Diaz look like shit on the way out the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
That's the point, yeah. That's truly the point. And it really doesn't even do anything for Khamzat. Like, if anything, like, this sounds a little funny, but, like, they're using Khamzat kind of as, like, their own little secret agent right here. Just go take Diaz out for us and fucking send him packing. You know
try
what
to
mean?
Embarrass him as much as you can.
Yeah.
And we'll reward you.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, like, the narrative around the fight is, well, Diaz asked for this. Diaz asked for this. Yeah, he asked for this after he wouldn't give him anybody else under the sun. And he said, whatever, I'll fucking fight Chimaev if you want. And then they took that and ran with it.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, the whole narrative around this fight is a pipe dream. You know what I mean? Like, nobody necessarily looks at this fight and goes, man, Diaz has the best chance of all the guys that Khamzat has fought to stop the hype train. There's
no
fucking way. Gilbert Burns, you tell me right now that Gilbert Burns wouldn't whoop Nate Diaz's ass, it wouldn't even be that good of a fight, I think. I think Gilbert Burns runs through fucking Diaz quicker than Chimaev would. And it's fucked up that they're doing this when Diaz could fight, like, scrap the co-main event. Give me Nate Diaz, Tony Ferguson at 170 pounds.
There you go.
And I'd watch. I'd pay the $85 for that.
Actually,
over
you could
this.
Make that the main event. I might actually buy that.
I mean, I'm being serious. I would buy that for $85. Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson versus Khamzat Chimaev.
And honestly, Kevin Holland versus Khamzat Chimaev makes more fucking sense at welterweight.
Yeah.
You could keep these same fighters on the card and just swap them the fuck around a little bit, and you get a way better card.
Mm-hmm. Literally. And then, of course, with Daniel Rodriguez and Lee Jiliang, makes sense, too. Give me a quick change, quick little scramble of names.
There, we just fixed your fucking card.
And I'd pay $85 for that. I would.
You're right. The main event should be Tony versus Nate. The co-main should be Chimaev versus Kevin Holland. And then the third fight on that should be Rodriguez versus Lee Jiliang. There you go. We fixed it.
You're welcome, UFC.
We'll title this episode UFC 279. Fixed it.
It's not WTF. It's WFI. We fixed it.
Jesus. So, all right, now let's look at the aftermath. I mean, Nate, I'd say there's no way, win or lose, Nate's resigning with the UFC. I would bet money on that if that was a prop bet somewhere. Mm-hmm. Does he go to PFL? Does he go fight Jake Paul? Does he go to bare knuckle? Does he retire?
I would like for him to hang him up.
I will say one thing about the shit that he's saying in like the UFC countdown videos for this. He doesn't sound like a guy that's done with the fight game. He says he's going to stick around until he's fucking done, and he's not saying anything about being done right now. He's not talking about staying in the UFC, mind you.
Yeah.
Dude, if he resigns at the UFC, I swear to God, I'm going to stop smoking weed for like a month.
Well, here's what I heard him say on Ariel when this was announced. Like, remember how he did that interview like right before this was announced? He was talking about that he would like to fight out his UFC contract, step away from the UFC for 2 years, let the talent pool replenish, and he'll resign at the UFC in 2 years.
When he's 40?
I guess. That's what he said. He said he doesn't envision himself ever truly like retiring and will just doesn't want to sign a 6, 7, 8, 9 fight deal like the UFC wants him to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Agree. And that's how the UFC gets these guys like Nate Diaz and until they came to an agreement, people like Anderson Silva and, you know, all these old Luke Rockhold, all these guys who are older that have like, you know, a foot in the door and a foot out the door. You know what I mean? And it makes it so when if Nate Diaz were to sign that big deal and, you know, do exactly like I was just saying, take 2 years off and then be like, you know what? I feel the best I've ever felt in my life. I'm going to come back, and tries to make a comeback. He's not coming back with anyone but the UFC. And that's how they get these guys into this deal. And that's why this fight is happening, because Nate Diaz is trying to break that mold of like, no, I'm going to step away for a minute, and when I come back, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. That's one thing, too. He said, I appreciate the UFC. I like the UFC. I was part of why this sport has become what it is, but they don't own me. And that's what he's trying to prove here. You know what I mean?
Well, I think his most likely scenario is not a retirement from combat sports for 2 years, but most likely a boxing match with somebody, more likely Jake Paul. I don't think this Anderson Silva thing is going to really go down. And if it does, and he wins, and I really think he'd fight Nate, then I think that's actually a thing that Nate could do that would pay him a few million dollars. I don't know if he could win that fight or not.
It'd be another case of a Jake Paul fight where everything was stacked in his hand, onto his sides except the experience.
Yeah, I mean, Nate's, everybody likes him. Nate's got great boxing, and he actually does. But
he does.
We've never seen him box against a boxer in a boxing ring before, so we don't really know. He's got great boxing when you're in MMA, which is different. Yeah.
And honestly, some of that great boxing has been the downfall of his MMA career.
Yeah. Oh, that wraps up UFC 279.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll be talking about some interesting shit next week. I mean, do you think we're going to hear right away in the aftermath, like, what's next for either of these guys? Do you think it's going
to
end?
It's going to come down to how it ends.
And Nate's going to be like, I mean, look, we've heard this talk about Anderson Silva versus Jake Paul, but it's just talk. There's no signed bout. There's no date. It's just like, yeah, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah, there's some leaps like, that they had to go through. Supposedly, behind the scenes, Anderson recently just got licensed to box in Arizona, which is why people now believe that it is going to happen. Because before it was like, you know, like you were saying, it was just kind of talk. But I don't know. If it does happen, I think that kind of takes away the Nate Diaz fight. If it doesn't happen, I agree with you. I think Nate Diaz retires and not retire from mixed martial arts, but from the UFC. And goes and fights Jake Paul. Which,
I mean, Jake Paul's last two fights have completely fallen out. There's no, I mean, it's more likely that whatever fight he signs next is going to fall out too.
Yeah.
I mean,
let's look at it this way too. Is like, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get a little tired of how, like, don't get me wrong. I get it. Jake Paul is attempting to set up some kind of bout with one of these bigger UFC champions, whether it's Usman or Conor or any of these guys. But I genuinely irks me how he is the first person to try to make everyone else a meme when they lose. Like, you, like,
he yeah, he's came like, out, I'm on the side of the fighters.
Yeah,
but ha, ha, like, ha, Usman.
Yeah, and it's like, Connor, the whole break his leg, or knockout chain, or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, all that shit is just so, so petty to me, and like, I don't understand why, like, this is one point of where, like, I don't get me wrong, me and Dana White don't agree on a lot of things, but this is one thing that I cannot agree with Dana White more than this fucking shit that Jake Paul is doing is not a boxing career. It's a sideshow, and he has tricked everyone who's watching into thinking he's legitimately fighting all these yeah. guys who are actually under contract with the UFC or other organizations, and they're all just fucking stupid ploys to make himself bigger. But at the end of the day, he will never fight Canelo Alvarez. He will never fight Conor McGregor. He will never fight Kamaru Usman. And he will not fight a lot of these guys. He's just blatantly pretty much starting beef with a bunch of people he knows he can never fight, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's impossible for him to do the things that he's saying because of these contracts that these fighters are under. He could fight Nate Diaz, though. Maybe. But you're right, but I do understand it. I've got to figure it out. And what I'm going to say is probably shocking to you, to thousands of listeners. Is no one has ever thought this before. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a douche.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no,
I agree.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's shift out of 279 and into our final topic of the show, because we have a lot of moving parts that have been fucking happening here with the UFC's heavyweight division. With last week, we had Ciryl Gane versus Tai Tuivasa. Mm-hmm. And so once again, we have this interim title talk. We have this Ngannou talk. Now we've got Ngannou's coach coming out and making a kind of benign, bland statement that then MMA media has then run with, which is like, oh, Ngannou versus Jones is back.
Yeah.
Because he said that's the fight we all want. What is he supposed to say?
Yeah, of course they want that. That's the point.
So, and we also seem to have some hold up here where we haven't got a date on Stipe versus Jones, and we don't really know why.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on with the heavyweight title picture?
So, one person you didn't even mention that's also a part of this is fucking Curtis Blaydes, man. Curtis Blaydes coming off a TKO victory versus Tom Aspinall, whether it be a injury or not, we're talking about another guy who is also in that conversation as well.
Yeah, we've got Curtis Blaydes, we've got Stipe, we've got Jones, we've got Ciryl Gane, we've got the champion Francis Ngannou, we've got his contract situation, we've got him and Tyson Fury out there talking shit. But now we've got, of course, Usyk and Fury possibly fighting, which might put a damper on the actual Ngannou Fury thing, which was a big thing that was one of the reasons Ngannou wanted to leave the UFC. So maybe if, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
It's all jacked up. And what I find super irritating, the thing that irritates me most is suddenly we have people calling for Gane to get some fucking interim title bullshit again.
Yeah, they're saying that there should be an interim title fight between him and Curtis Blaydes at this point, because those three at the top are in this weird contract negotiation situation where, like,
why should Blaydes or Gane, who already had a bullshit interim title,
and both of them have already lost to Ngannou,
get the next guaranteed shot at Ngannou over Jones or Stipe, who have, I swear to fucking God in heaven, the UFC needs to fix this mess pretty soon with any kind of fucking statement. And the only thing that makes sense to me, Paul, and honestly it was you that said this in pre-show, is they do not want to pay John Jones and Stipe Miocic the amount of money they're asking for this interim title fight.
What they're worth.
Which is what they're worth, too.
Yeah.
So, and it's really a bummer, because not only is that fight super intriguing if you just simply look at the two of them as they are,
mm-hmm.
but supposedly we have big Stipe coming.
Yeah.
We've got supersized Stipe.
Not only that, Ben, but it's like, here's the thing. At the end of the day, we have three of the biggest fighters possibly in the history of the heavyweight division in the UFC. You have Francis Ngannou, who is one of the most vicious knockout artist we've ever seen. You have Stipe, who has just had some of the most classic fights of the division.
And the most defenses of the title
ever.
Yeah,
and then you have John Jones, who is the consensus greatest fighter of all time.
And without a doubt, the greatest light heavyweight.
Yeah. And here's, like, in...
And we're fucking around talking about Ciryl Gane? Exactly. I mean, I'm sorry. Seriously?
And don't get me wrong. It's not... That's one casualty of all this. It's now Ciryl Gane is getting the brunt of a lot of this, and he's just doing what he's got to do. The UFC tried to use him when he fought Francis Ngannou as a way to fix this. And now they have to fix this on their own, and they're dropping the ball. They're dropping the ball here for real, because if you look at all that leverage that they had against Francis Ngannou is now gone. Because before, when we talked about it, we said, you know, like, Francis had all the has all the leverage, and now I think he has even more leverage, because now you're talking about you can't even get together an interim title fight. How are you going to move on from me when you can't even move on from me with the two guys that you can move on with me from? You can't even fucking get to an agreement with them.
And go ahead and make an interim with Curtis Blades and Ciryl Gane.
I whooped their ass.
Nobody's going to buy that shit. No fan is going to be like, oh yeah, that's legit.
Not only that, who wants to be the two-time interim champ?
I don't know.
Nobody.
why does Gane just suddenly move back up? Because you beat Tuivasa, who's a fun fighter.
Yeah.
And yep, he earned his ranking by beating Derek Lewis, another fun fighter, who Gane also beat, by the way, for the interim title. Mm-hmm. So he beats a couple guys who stylistically he should beat, because he's a very technical striker, against a couple of guys who are basically wild brawlers, dude. Mm-hmm. Tuivasa's goddamn description of his martial arts style is street fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking the guy, but there's a level that shit gets you that it doesn't get you fucking past.
Yeah.
And we just saw it with Derek Lewis. He's essentially Derek Lewis 2.0. And he's the guy who also KO'd Derek Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised. Gane's supposed to win that fight. That doesn't automatically get you another title shot because you went out and you beat the guy you're supposed to beat.
And why does every fight within the top three of, like, every division have to be an interim title shot? Doesn't. Does not. Like, you can have Gane and Blades fight next, and there does not have to be a title.
There's no need for that. That fight's not bad as long as you don't stick a fucking interim on it.
But what you cannot do is you cannot make a John Jones and Stipe Miocic fight and not put an interim title shot on it.
No, of course not.
There's no way, because you can't sit there and tell me whoever comes out of that fight a winner does not deserve an immediate title shot, because you're looking at Stipe, who's already 1-1 against a champion. You're looking at John Jones, who's coming up, and he is, you know, like we said before, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
And now is at this new weight. We've never seen him before, and seems to have.
Supersized John Jones versus supersized Stipe. Like,
so,
what the
fuck? Yeah, it's like they're basically both at their peak right now. And the fact that the UFC is dropping the ball on the negotiation table is absolutely bonkers.
It doesn't make any sense fiscally. I don't understand. Do they think this won't sell?
I don't see how.
I don't understand.
The biggest pay-per-view I think ever.
The fuck?
It could pull Brock Lesnar numbers.
If they did the live shit right, the gate could probably pay most of the money these guys are asking for.
And I'm going to be honest. You can do... Okay, so what's one thing they've done in the past when they've had two guys that want a lot of money? Let's take a look back. We look at... perfect example is Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone. That, outside of that main event, was a pretty low fighter pay level event. Like, because you had Conor and Donald at the top, and both of them were getting paid one of their biggest salaries of their career. And then under that, though, you had, like, a lot of prelims. Like, you had Sean O'Malley on there on the prelim main event. But, like, on the card, actual card, it was a lot more like mid-tier fighters. And you could do the same exact thing with the fight like Jones and Stipe. You can make the main event is so exciting for everyone involved that everything underneath it is just a build-up to the main event.
Oh, for sure.
And that's what they're disguising this Chimaev and Diaz fight as. And I don't think you can do it with the Diaz and Chimaev, but you can do it in a fight like a Jones and a Stipe.
Dude, that's a... I don't see how anybody could realistically argue that pay-per-view doesn't sell 1 million minimum.
Yeah.
At $85, mind you, right now, these are going to be rough numbers because we don't know. I mean, yes, there's some kind of split with ESPN and the $500,000 buy guarantee. But let's just do some real basic generic numbers. That's about $85 million.
Yeah.
Okay. You could give them each $10 million. Okay. You got $65 million left over, whatever your split is.
Yeah.
Let's say it was half with fucking ESPN. So there's like $40 million out. You give each of the top two guys 10, so that leaves $20 million. You got maybe a mil for the rest of the card. Promotion is cheap. Promotion's done by ESPN. Yeah. It's figured in. They don't have those types of fucking costs anymore. And then they've got a live gate. Plus, they've got all their sponsors coming in, okay? It's not just like the pay-per-view is their only source. Mm-hmm. Their sponsors are going to pay more for that fight. So Proper's going to be paying more. DraftKings is going to be paying more. The goddamn, all that shit you see, Monster, all that shit's going to be fucking paying, right?
Yeah, premium.
All that shit. So it's not just the pay-per-view money, but even with just the pay-per-view money, there's still $20 million just sitting there on the table for the UFC if you don't count anything else.
Yeah.
And that's if you gave each guy 10 mil.
Yeah.
So fucking, it doesn't make any sense. And or that's you can not the, do it, just not do it, and just like, no, fuck it.
And then what? Then you have the whole, that's what I mean, though. You know, like, now we have this division that I feel like is now just going to be held at bay over fucking contract negotiation. Like, because then if we go past that, let's say that doesn't happen, right? Just, I want it to happen, but I'm just saying, like, just for argument's sake, let's say Jones-Stipe never happens, right? Then you have no backup plan that makes any logical sense for some kind of interim title. So then you lose every bit of leverage you had in that negotiation between Francis Ngannou and the UFC. So then that breaks down. So then what happens? You lose your champion because you go over a six-month negotiation period after this fight in which neither of you can get in an actual agreement, and then what, he leaves the UFC? And then you still don't have Jones and Stipe? Like, does this not ever, like, occur to these guys? Because this is...
It used to occur to the Fertittas, I do believe, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. And old Joe, what's his fucking name, the old matchmaker that everybody thought was such an asshole. I can't remember his name right now. But Joe Silva. That core group, I think, could iron out the bullshit. Now it's just Dana, and I don't think Dana cares about that kind of stuff, because WME Endeavor certainly doesn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm still kind of reeling mentally from hearing out loud what you just said. If the UFC never makes Jones versus Stipe, honestly, my first thought in my head hearing that is that would be the biggest fight to ever get away from the UFC. Dana likes to say it's the Fedor fight. Nah, that would dwarf that, because Fedor was in another promotion. There was reasons outside of the UFC's control they couldn't get that done, because they couldn't work the deal out with M1 Global at the time, right? Yeah. You don't get this fight done between two guys that are under contract for you. That's the biggest thing that you fucked up on ever in the history of the UFC, would not be making that fucking fight.
Yeah.
Or waiting until it's inconsequential.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or a variation of that. Whether it be like one of these three fights has to happen. It has to either be Francis Ngannou versus John Jones, Francis Ngannou versus Stipe number 3, or Jones versus Stipe. Yeah, it has to.
And it has to be the one in the fight
gets
the winner.
The winner, for sure.
It can't be a third party. It has to be between these three fucking
guys.
It has to be those three.
There's no other scenario that makes any kind of sense. Because you have Blades and fucking Gone. Don't get me wrong. They're both great fighters. And I do think down the line, after that whole three fights play out, one of those two will, at that time, probably be a lot more deserving of a title shot on top of that. So I just don't...
All this shit could have been
It could have.
We could have had Jones versus Ngannou happening...
Last February.
It could even have been happening... It could have been scheduled a while ago and happening the end of this month with Stipe waiting in the wings to fight the fucking winner. And they could have already announced that Stipe gets the winner. But then there you go. People would be like talking about the UFC heavyweight division like, what the fuck? Damn. Jones versus Ngannou with Stipe getting the winner. Or they could have done just Stipe versus blah, blah, blah with Ngannou getting the winner. And you lay that out there.
Yeah.
No, nah, they're just fucking off. Yeah. No one cares at the UFC.
They don't.
I don't know what's up with Dana. He's just, I guess he wasn't the guy driving the sporting aspect behind the UFC. By sporting aspect, I mean the like title shots, we're going to make every card fucking be quality. We're not going to be like boxing. Like, he was the mouthpiece that uttered the words, but apparently it was the Fertittas that were the driving fucking force behind that philosophy. Because once they sold the UFC, Dana stays, Darium and their team leaves, and that philosophy goes out the fucking window.
So. Well, not only that, if you really truly look back at those classic fights, a lot of them, even the McGregor fights early in his career, if you talk about like where things, let's just look at the Diaz-McGregor, the two times it happened. Both times when contract negotiations broke down, who closed the deal? Frank Fertitta.
Yep.
It was never Dana.
Lorenzo, yeah. They ran out both of them. But yeah, it was the Lorenzo brothers in one way or the other. Yeah. And who would fucking Conor go drink with? The Fertittas.
Yeah.
Which says something about how it worked behind the scenes. Now it's just fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And now we got this hot mess where his fans were missing out. UFC is missing out, WME is missing out, and nobody seems to fucking care enough because Dana says, no, we have to toe this line,
mm-hmm.
where they only get this percentage or whatever the fuck his nonsense is.
It's true. Well, hopefully we get the answer to that very soon.
We'll see. The countdown is on.
Because one thing we didn't talk about also is the timeline that we had laid out for this whole scenario to take place has now starting, the time is starting to tick away because we talked about how Francis was going to be out 8 to 9 months, which is coming up. He's supposedly cleared by doctors to go back to start training, but naturally, you know, you got to get back in shape and things of that nature. So the timetable in which before would make all the sense for the UFC and give them all the leverage is now gone.
It is.
It's gone.
They should have scheduled the interim bout already.
It should have been in May.
Yeah. So.
That's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess.
I guess. Hopefully, we as fans, it works out the best for us.
Yeah.
And the fighters, and not the UFC. Mm-hmm. Well, honestly,
that's the thing. If it works for the fans and the fighters, it does end up working for the UFC because it builds their brand at the end of the day, man.
Exactly.
That's why I don't get what the fuck they're doing. You're hurting yourselves. You're shooting yourself in the foot with the shit you're doing right now.
There's a narrative that can be built around heavyweight bouts with excitement and a few players. Mm-hmm. We see it just in boxing.
Yeah.
But the UFC has a way they could do it here, like I just said. But we'll see, man.
We shall see. Well, I think that about wraps up the show for today.
I'd like to thank our show sponsor, Binoid CBD. You can go to SWATMMA.com, click the Cool Stuff button. You can find all sorts of interesting information about them, including links to get 20% off. Also found on our YouTube page. If you're watching the video, scroll down into the description. Click the links there.
Check while out you're down all there, of the click cool the subscribe stuff. Button. Like the video. Drop a comment. Tell us what's up. And then also head over to SWATMMA.com, click the gear button, and buy a t-shirt and support the podcast. And then when you're done with that, head over to Instagram and follow us at SWATMMA Podcast.
People, yeah, we give motherfuckers a list of shit to do, everybody.
Do this shit. You guys got till next week.
Peace.